I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erioki. Join me and my friends as we explore the darker side of the Sooner State. All right, here we go. I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erioki, and I'm here today with Shanna Stoker. That is how you say it, right?
That's correct.
Awesome. And so I just wanted to let you introduce yourself a little bit. This is one of our special Halloween episodes, and this one's super special because you happen to be a relative of Bram Stoker's. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I am a descendant of Bram, and I believe I'm a direct descendant from his uncle. That's what we've been told.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so neat. Oh my gosh. So I was actually turned on to your TikTok by a listener of the podcast, and I wanted to give him a shout out, Josh Garrett. Thank you so much for connecting us. Shanna has been great ever since I first emailed her. And that was one of the first questions I wanted to ask you. So how did you find out about your relation to Bram Stoker?
Well, my family's known for generations, so it's just kind of something that they've talked about, that I grew up hearing about, but I didn't fully understand the significance of it. I kind of just assumed, like, you know, I was a child. I didn't know Dracula was the first kind of, you know, modern depiction of vampires in this type of lore and in this type of media. And I didn't understand the significance of what that did for goth culture and horror and, you know, all of that. And, but it was when I was in second grade that I was actually writing my own horror story, and I was visiting my grandparents, and on the Stoker side, they were so excited that I was writing a horror story.
Oh my gosh.
At 8 years old, right?
Like, oh, I'm sure they're, you know, they were really excited.
Encouragement, right? They really were. And like, they were like, oh, you're passing on the family, you know, lineage and like your, mm-hmm. the family name and everything. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. And then that's when they really explained like how he was the first, like it was very significant, you know? And I remember whenever I learned that, like, just again, how important he was for spooky culture, that me as this kid, I mean, I've always been bright and bubbly, but at the same time, I've always had this sense of duality of like, mm-hmm. I've loved the dark and spooky and eerie and
oh, yeah.
Macabre ever since I was born. I mean, genuinely, like before I could speak, I was born in March of 93, and October 93 is when Nightmare Before Christmas came out, and that was my favorite film.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Mermaid. So, you know, I mean, I was, again, duality.
Yes, I completely understand.
And so, but I do remember, you know, I would be reading like scary stories to tell in the dark, or I would be watching my creepy movies or whatever. And I, you know, and adults would be like, are you okay, honey? Like that kind of, is everything?
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And, but I remember just being very, very aware that I had different interests. Mm-hmm. And that I was different in very many ways, and that I could act quote unquote normal. I could act like my friends. I could act, you know, like I was interested in the same things they were.
Right.
But I usually wasn't. I usually was much more interested in just stranger things, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember just kind of feeling that at a very young age and being aware at a young age that that wasn't exactly something that was welcome in a lot of places in society, mm-hmm. You know, my school, my church, that kind of thing. And to hear about Bram and what he did at 8 years old, I remember feeling like, oh, it makes sense. I'm not strange, maybe to the rest of the world, but I'm exactly mm-hmm. who I'm supposed to be. And like, that's awesome. And it gave me this beautiful sense of self at such a young age that I am immensely grateful for. And, you know, and so, you know, more so than just being his relative and, you know, he's famous and that's cool and all, he genuinely, very personally has inspired me to create with my business, to accept who I am and all of my interests, and the fact that you don't have to put yourself in a box. I'm not just, you know, I'm not just the spooky. I kind of call myself Persephone mm-hmm. Goth.
Because, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, and I practice witchcraft. I just do. It was just, there's a lot about my life that I think if I hadn't learned at such a young age about him and our relation, I would have been more confused about, and I might not have fully expressed myself the way I wanted to.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm so glad I learned so young and that it's been such a big part of my personality.
I love that so much. Like, that's such a beautiful connection that you have to that part of your heritage.
Thank you. It really is.
Like, that's really cool.
It's a joy, and it's something that I'm very honored to speak about now. And, like, I wanted to speak about it, but I didn't want to do that at the wrong time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that.
Sure, I wasn't talking about this stuff until I knew the business could stand on its own 2 feet, you know, because when we started this business, which I am the co-owner and co-operator of the Ghoulish Garb, which is an online shop dedicated to creating unique designs focused on witchcraft and spooky, macabre Halloween designs. But we are most famous for our Tarot Major Arcana deck. And when we first came out with this business in 2018, people urged me to talk about Braum and my relation, and they were like, you know, that's totally part of the niche, and it'll get you recognition, and it'll get you interviews, and, you know, get your shop up and going. And I was like, I don't want this business to be successful because of the name. I want to make sure that it's our quality of our, you know, customer service and the designs and the items that you actually purchase and physically wear or hang on your walls. And I wanted to make sure that the brand and all our actual content could hold its own first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I wouldn't even really put my name in any correspondences, just Shanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just like, I just really, really, really wanted to make sure that was authentic. And it's been 3 years and we're both full time, my partner and I, with insurance. So I figure, okay, now's the
That's
time
awesome. That That's the dream.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Enjoy it and just talk about it and finally share this amazing connection between me and Braum.
That's so cool. And it reminds me of a story I heard about one of Stephen King's sons who asked him at one point. He was sending out query letters for one of his own books. And he was like, Dad, you know, can you help me write this query letter? And Stephen King wrote up this horrifically bad query letter, and it was grammatically incorrect. The spelling was awful. It made his son sound like, you know, totally an idiot. And his point was, if I help you do this, you're never going to know that you could have made it on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I had to know that we could do this on our own. And like, my partner was very adamant too about that. Like, let's not make this a gimmick. Like, let's really create this brand authentically and for the let's let our content, our designs stand on their own. That's why I didn't try to come out as like the personality of the brand or anything either, because I'm a big personality. So I figured, you know, eventually that would happen. But you know, we really, it was all about the business and the customer service and the quality of our designs and products that got us to where we are right now. And now, you know, me having a TikTok and talking about all of this and doing interviews and stuff, it's a blast, but I know that it's not the reason I'm getting sales.
Yeah. I can imagine how that would be, that would mess with you, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you already get, you know, I'm sure like, we already have, or I do at least, I already have a tendency towards imposter syndrome. And so like, yeah, if I had done it differently, I don't think I'd have the same type of pride that I have in my business, because I would always have the underlying wonder of, is this me or is it just, but now I'm like, I know without a doubt our designs, our business that we created is what is working.
So it's amazing.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I looked at the site and it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, there's so much good stuff.
At the Etsy. Yeah, if you go to Etsy and you just search the Ghoulish Garb, all one word, or you just go directly to etsy.com/shop/theghoulishgarb, that's where I'd recommend going, because that's like the most updated platform, with like all of our newest stuff is very constantly being updated. But we're also on Amazon and eBay. We do have our own website, but I think we're about to start, because we need to work on our website. I think we're about to push people over to Etsy directly, and then try to get our website updated, because that's a lot of work and we haven't had time to do that yet.
Oh gosh, I can relate.
Yeah. We're just so focused on making designs that it's like, oh gosh, the website, it's not updated. It looks great, but it's not updated.
Yes, it does. It does. I'll have to check out the Etsy store, because I'm definitely going to get something, because it's like the stuff that I saw, I was like, oh my gosh, this is right up my alley.
Yes, good. I'm so glad. Well, please, you know, let me know. Message me and I'll give you a discount for this amazing interview.
Oh my gosh, thank you. So yeah. Another question I had for you, since you are related to Bram Stoker, did you enjoy the novel Dracula when you first read it?
You know, I read it in high school and I did. I really enjoyed it. I did not know before I read it that it was written in the form of like letters and correspondences, mm-hmm. and diary. And I really love that. I think it's so modern. It feels to me like somebody on TikTok recently said, and I just think this is such an incredible idea, and I think they're starting a Kickstarter for it. But he was like, he's a film guy, and he was saying, I don't know, but I think that Dracula would be perfect for like a found footage film, because you could translate these letters and diary entries to like vlog posts, or you know, just like little, you know, video diary posts and stuff.
Oh, that would
and
be I'm amazing.
Like, that and yeah so I commented on the TikTok like, oh my gosh, I love that idea. And now he's talking with me about their Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and about evidently like it was supposed to do like a 15-minute version, but now everybody wants it to be a 2-hour version, like a full length. Mm-hmm. So I might be, I don't know, consulting with him on that or helping, I don't know, who knows. He
that's knows so exciting.
And I'm like, I'll do whatever I could do.
Oh yeah. Yes, it. Definitely.
And I'm such a creative that, like, I just finished writing a song last night for my band. I'm constantly designing with the Ghoulish Garb.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoy creating. So anything I can do to help with that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can completely relate to that. That was one of the things I was going to ask you about, was you have a background in vocal performance. And so tell me about your band.
Yeah. So I actually just joined this band on October 5th. I was not in search for a band, but I had a profile on bandmix.com that I put up a few years ago, just kind of like, I'm not actively in search of a band, but mm-hmm. if a band finds me and it's the right time, I'll know, kind mm-hmm. of a thing. And holy moly, did it happen?
Oh my gosh.
What happened in the universe? Okay, so I've got to share this with you. I told you I do practice witchcraft, and sometimes it's strange, mm-hmm. because I manifest when I don't realize I'm manifesting.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll give you an example of this. About 2 months ago, I told my roommate, I have songs inside me that are just itching to get out. I've never felt that way in my life, ever. Mm-hmm. I've always wished I could. And I used to write poetry, but I was like, man, I wish I could write songs, and I just don't know how to write songs, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was just all of a sudden just overwhelmed with these feelings of like, oh my God, I have these songs inside me. And I said those words to them. And then a month after that, last month in September, when I was visiting my partner, I told him, we were listening, I've been in a really big, like, I love metal. And so I was listening to something, and he was showing me one of his new metal bands that he's listening to. And I was like, God, I've just wished for so long, since like sixth grade, that I could be in a metal band. I'm mm-hmm. like, my voice is just, it's musical theater and classical. It's not, I wish I could scream, or I wish I could do all those things. And man, I just love metal, and I would love to put on a crazy show. And he and I were talking about that. And then literally October 5th, like that week before that, I had 4 different people from metal bands contact me about being their lead singer and lyricist.
That's crazy.
And here's the thing, though. I was thinking, is it just because my TikTok blew up? Because it blew up in August. And I've had a lot of great opportunities coming my way because specifically I had posted a video of me singing Sally's song on my TikTok. And so because of that, I was asked to join in on a virtual musical, which I have joined and performed in so far. And I love it. They're just amazing. It's called Off the Beaten Path.
Oh, that's cool.
And they even wrote a character for me. Her name is Morgane, based on my middle name, Morgan. She's a witch.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, like it's been an amazing opportunity. But so I was just assuming, okay, well, maybe something happened with that. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, no, because my band mix is not at all tied to my TikTok. You wouldn't know at all that I have a TikTok if you just look at my band mix profile. And so anyway, so I was just kind of like, huh, I don't know why all these four metal bands, and I don't have metal as a listed interest on my band page either. So again, it was just like, what? Anyway, and so I kind of text these four guys, and then the last one who contacted me actually ended up being from the band that I'm in now. But he contacted me on the morning of October 5th. By that night, we had a video conference with the entire band and myself, and it was supposed to just kind of be a get to know you, see what our, you know, what our goals are and what our level of kind of like what professionalism we're bringing to this, and how exactly, you know, dedicated are you going to be and everything. And we ended up speaking for all four of us for 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Of just talking about our experiences, like music, like Jake, who's the lead singer and founder of the band. He toured with Motley Crue a few times, and Quiet Riot, and, you know, back in the 80s. And like, so, and he's like a main sound engineer at Universal as his day job. And he's worked in television and videography, and he's got a full studio set up, very professional in his home, and, you know, and all this different stuff. And like, holy moly, they are amazing. Oh my gosh. They're
that's
great.
So awesome.
And they're the sweetest men. Like, they're so, so kind. I just could not believe how welcoming and kind they were. And of course, one of the things I mentioned when we were talking about, like, how dedicated can you be, how responsible. I tell them, well, I have chronic illness. I've got endometriosis, which is very painful and can give me an attack at any moment. I've got depression, anxiety, PTSD. Like, I literally all of September, I basically spent in bed.
Can relate.
And I was just very honest with them, because I feel like if you're entering into this sort of relationship, especially, you know, a creative relationship, a relationship where you have to be a team, it's important to be honest about your struggles and what that might come up. And they were so kind. They were like, hey, you know, we all have issues like that. Like, you know, this guy has PTSD and da da da. And hey, we're a family. Like, you come first. We come first as individuals, and the band is something that we love to do. So that's why. And they were, their answers and their just kindness and their gentility, I was not expecting. You know, they're all older dudes.
Like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, like they were all, you know, they started their rocking careers like in the 80s.
And yeah.
90s, so, you know, it's just, but that's great for me, because I don't have any experience in a band like this. And so they're really just, oh my gosh, just such a beautiful band to be a part of. It's been less than a month, and I already feel like I've known them for years, and like, it's, they genuinely treat me like family, and
that's such a good feeling.
But it's called Dracora. It is a symphonic metal band. So I got my wish. I am writing the melody and lyrics for all of the songs, which is amazing, because guess what? I just said, I have these songs. I just finished the first song last night that we're working on. It's actually the second song of the album. We already have the concept down for the first 5 songs, which is going to be a 5-song EP. It's, you know, it is a concept album. It's very theatrical, which is great because I have a theatrical background.
Right.
It's Jake, you know, and he does all the sound engineering and stuff. And he's got all these people at Universal who want to be a part of helping us out with production. And it's just this really amazing, like I said, it felt like kismet. But again, I had this feeling like, well, but do they just want me? Because, I mean, their name is Dracora.
Right.
Like, this cannot be a coincidence, right?
Right.
So at the end of this, like, 2-hour call, after I was pretty sure Like, nobody had mentioned anything about that. Nobody had mentioned anything about my business. They didn't know about anything. So I was like, okay, hey, just quick question, Jake, how did you find me? And he was like, well, I found you on BandMix, but I initially saw your profile and it's like all Disney princess stuff. So I did not think twice about you because I used to have a princess party business. That's how I partially paid my way through college, was performing at parties as princesses and singing and stuff. And so a lot of my stuff is just videos I took a few years ago of me as princesses singing. But one of them was Sally's song from Nightmare Before Christmas that I posted on my TikTok, my YouTube. It's my favorite video I've done so far of singing. It's definitely the most popular as well. And so he said that he didn't even look twice because he just saw all the Disney stuff, and like metal again was not listed as one of my influences. And that was a few months ago. And let me tell you, a few months ago, I was absolutely not in the right place to be in a band. But then Compy, the bassist, found my profile again, and he listened to every single one of my songs and videos. And then he was like, oh my God, Jake, listen to this Sally song. She's got to be our singer. And he listened and he was like, holy shit, she's got to be our singer. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
I cuss lots on the podcast.
Okay, good. I know. And I try not to, but like, you know, it comes out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he tells Jake that, and Jake's on board. And again, I can tell that they're serious because they contacted me. Like, Compy contacted me the night before Jake contacted me, but I was busy and I wasn't able to answer. And again, I'd already been getting these messages. So I was just kind of like, okay, you know, I wasn't, it was urgent. And then Jake messaged me and I'm like, okay, they both messaged me. And then he wanted the call that night. Like, they're interested. They're really interested. Like, the other people who talked to me, it just didn't seem as urgent or as professional either.
Right.
And this was so professional and they were so interested. And so anyway, so he tells me that, like, he tells me that they just found me on BandMix, and I was like, okay, did you know, like, I have a TikTok, and they're all older dudes. So they're like, oh God, no, we don't have TikTok. You know? And I'm like, I thought so. So listen, and I just kind of tell them real quick, like, my name's Shanna Stoker. I'm related to Bram Stoker. And I also own a business called the Ghoulish Garb, where I, you know, everything's spooky and Halloween and stuff. And again, they're all like, it's called Dracora, and in symphonic metal is usually has a very goth feel to it anyway. So they all have that type of like interest. And so whenever I was telling them this, they're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And Jake is freaking out because he's like, this is fate. This is fate. And I was saying the same thing. I was like, that's insane. Because I asked him before I told him too. I said, how did you come up with the name Dracora? And he was like, well, I just wanted something spooky that like you wouldn't have to think too much about, but it would invoke the feeling of spookiness as soon as you hear it. And he was like, I was talking to Kelly, his fiance and wife. And he was like, maybe something like, I don't know, Dracula. Of course we can't call it Dracula though. Dracora. And that was it.
Oh my
Dracula,
gosh.
Dracora. And then, so I know people are going to think, oh, she named her band Dracora. No, they had a band and they added me and that's it.
That's so crazy. Oh my gosh. That's the best. Crazy.
And like I said, if he had contacted me a few months ago, a year ago when he had first seen my profile, like I would have had to turn it down because I wasn't in the right place for it. And then this never would have happened. And now, you know, in the span of a week, I've written my first song. We've been a band now, or I've been a part of it for 16 days, and like we already have our concept down, the first album, we have all the pretty much almost all the songs written musically, I'm writing lyrics and music, we've determined what the album cover is going to look like, we're working on our logo, like, yeah, there's just so much that's happened, and I'm so excited about it. I'm just beyond excited.
Oh, I can totally imagine. That's so cool. It reminds me of the movie Under the Tuscan Sun, how she like has all these wishes for what she wants when she gets into that house in Tuscany. And nothing turns out the way that she thought it would, but she gets all of her wishes anyway. Yes, and it's kind of like magical.
That's what it feels like, honestly, genuinely, because I've been through so much and I'm only 28 and I don't know. At the same time, so much of me wanted all of these kind of things to happen earlier, but I wasn't ready for them yet.
I
fully believe that the right opportunities will come whenever they're necessary or whenever you're ready for them. And that just because an opportunity comes around doesn't mean it's the right one for you. Mm-hmm. And I believe with, especially, you know, what makes me believe it more than anything, that I've found the right people and the right creative outlets, is the fact that the people that are a part of these things that I've joined, such as Dracora or the Off the Beaten Path musical, or even just, you know, working with on my business, the people I work with in each of these areas are so genuinely kind and so incredibly understanding and thoughtful. I've never been surrounded by so many wonderful people life. And I just feel so blessed and grateful. And to have gone from, you know, September feeling like I didn't want to trigger warning.
Oh yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Well, in September feeling like I didn't want to be alive anymore.
I get that.
You know, but being aware and telling myself, even in the worst moments, like, this is a chemical imbalance. This is not you. You have your side of this body. And just because this body is throwing you for a loop right now doesn't mean this is you or has anything to do with your relationships or your person. So yes, this is awful and it sucks, but like, we're not going to unalive ourselves because we know this isn't rational and we know that we have wonderful things to live for and all this type of thing. And so it was just to go from that in September to where I am now, I'm so grateful, more grateful than words can say.
Yeah. So I can completely relate to that because one of the things that I am super transparent about on Irioki is that I have bipolar disorder and I struggle with that. I struggle with the thoughts of unaliving myself quite frequently. And so I think it's really cool that you brought that up and that mental health is such an important thing to you too.
It really is. And it's something, yeah, I struggle with a lot. And I don't know if you regularly watch my TikTok. I don't post regularly enough because of a lot of these issues. Mm-hmm. But I did post, I did make a very vulnerable post that I was nervous about, but at the same time I wasn't, if that makes sense. I wasn't nervous about it until people started commenting and I'm like, oh God, did I make a mistake? But everybody's comments were like, thank you for talking about this and being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's important to share the highs and the lows because they do color things, you know, differently. And social media has such a way of making it seem like everything's okay and perfect. But I mean, I feel like that was more of like the Instagram social media, and TikTok is, that's why I prefer. And I can't believe, like, it took me so long to get on TikTok because I was like, oh gosh, just another social media platform. But honestly, like what the reason I think that TikTok is so important, and I do use that word very like seriously, is because whereas Instagram was, you know, people going to extremes of photoshopping themselves on a beach just to make it seem like they had a better life than they already did. Whereas TikTok is, hey, let's talk about mental health. Hey, I don't have any makeup on right now and my hair looks crazy, but I have the story and I can't wait to share it because we're all friends. Or, hey, I'm going to share my business with you or my art with you or my vulnerability with you. And it's just, it, as someone who couldn't get out of bed in September, I spent a lot of time watching TikTok and just feeling like I wasn't alone. And I cannot, like, that is just, that's important. That is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the best things that's ever come out of the podcast for me was when anyone contacts me and tells me that they also have bipolar disorder and that me being vulnerable gave them hope or strength in a moment when they didn't have it. And I feel so honored when people share that with me.
Oh, it's such a beautiful thing to say, to be like, to feel like what I've said and what I'm going through, it may be awful, but at least if it's helped some pod, if me sharing has helped one person, then me going through that doesn't feel like a waste.
Right.
Doesn't feel like something wrong with me. It feels like a higher purpose then for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that's for everybody. I'm not going to say I can feel that whenever it's during that time. I really can't because you know that.
Oh yeah.
But looking back, it makes me feel like, okay, these issues that we deal with you know, whether we choose to share them or not, like not everybody should, or you know, but because I feel compelled to, that's one of the reasons why I kind of feel like maybe that's what I should be doing. Right. You know?
Oh yeah.
I just try to listen to my intuition with that.
Yeah. Same. One of my favorite things that my therapist has ever told me is that not everyone has the right to hear your story.
Sure.
And
yeah.
That was really important for me whenever I was very freshly diagnosed, you know, because I think when you're in the throes of that initial diagnosis and you're really struggling and everything, it's a little bit too vulnerable to share those things with people. And I think yeah. you kind of have to get a little bit of time under your belt dealing with it and understanding that you can deal with it and you can survive it before you're mm-hmm. ready to get to a place of sharing it openly on a large platform. And I and like agree. You said, it's not for everybody. It really isn't. And I'm glad that I am able to take my experience and that you are too, and to share that in a meaningful way.
Me too. It's, you know, yeah, you're totally right. I was diagnosed with depression back in, God, it was in college, but, or no, it was right after college. So about 2017 mm-hmm. and, you know, PTSD, I was diagnosed with in 2018, ADHD, I was diagnosed with in 2019. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, it's been a few years of me just trying to cope and mm-hmm. learn. And right. learning is the most important thing for me. The more I understand my symptoms, the more I can dissociate them from me, mm-hmm. you know, and that helps Absolutely. Me in those moments.
Yeah.
It helps me to say, you know, yes, right now your ego self that is in your body is suffering, but your higher self is different. Your higher self mm-hmm. is still here. And like, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
for me, like that's where a lot of my witchcraft comes into play too, of working on that. And it's difficult. And I didn't do so well with it in September, but that's okay because mm-hmm. I'm still here. And I learned from that experience, and that experience helped other people because I shared it. So yeah, it's just, you know, do what you can, and whether or not that includes being vulnerable with other people or just listening to other people and helping, and that helps you, like wherever mm-hmm. you are in that scenario, you know, just do what you can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, oh gosh, it's so crazy how much it's changed, like the conversation surrounding mental health in the last 10 years, even, because when yeah. I was diagnosed, I remember that was not something you talked about. Like you didn't,
exactly.
if you went to therapy, you did not talk about that. That was not.
And now, like people are on TikTok. You have whole entire streams like of just people mm-hmm. talking about their mental illness. And it's right. like, oh my God, this is so much more prevalent.
Yes.
And like, it doesn't make you a bad person. It mm-hmm. doesn't make you shameful.
Right.
We all are dealing with different shit. And it's just like, be kind and yeah. listen and stop assuming, because most of the stuff that we deal with is invisible, right?
Yep.
Like most chronic illness, mental or physical, is invisible. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm so glad that the mental health discussion has changed, because
oh, me too.
It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Cause I think about like when I was diagnosed, if I had had someone to look to who was publicly saying, I have this disorder, I struggle with it, but I'm making it.
Yeah.
That would have been huge.
And not I'm making it because every single day is good right now. And even though I had this, I don't deal with it now. It's like, no.
Right.
No, there are still days I can't get out of bed. Still days when mm-hmm. I want to unalive myself or hurt myself just to mm-hmm. feel something. Like, yeah, no, but that doesn't, that's okay. Like it's, we're working on it. We're
right.
We're fixing ourselves. Like I'm yeah. taking medication. I'm going to therapy soon. I'm starting that back up. I talk to my friends. I try to reach out if I can. I also have a list on my phone of like what I call my glitters, which
oh,
are
I like, that.
Like, yeah, they're like the opposite of triggers. Mm-hmm. And so I keep a list because a lot of times when I'm in those dark depression areas of my time, mm-hmm. It's hard to remember anything that can bring you happiness
oh, yeah.
or dopamine or serotonin. And so, mm-hmm. So I have a list I've created, and that was, you know, in September, I tried all of my things on my list, and it could be anything from put your makeup on today, or go cuddle with the cats, or take a walk, or cross stitch, or watch this movie. And you know, I tried all my glitters, and like nothing was working for weeks. And so I was just finally like, okay, this is bad. Like, this is real bad. So, you know, I did contact the suicide awareness hotline. But I was very upset because I contacted their chat and they were like, we're really busy. I'm so sorry. You'll have to wait. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And it was 35 minutes before I even, like, they still were like, I'm so sorry about the wait. And I'm like, yeah, this is awful. This is awful. Like, I totally could have done this by now. Like, I could have done what I'm calling you not to do, or contacting you not to do. And so it was just really frustrating. That being said, like, I have had help from them in the past and it was incredibly helpful. So I'm not disparaging them, but in that particular moment, it was very disappointing. But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's why, like, these types of struggles are literally struggles that they're life and death. And I talk about them because of that. If I can help one single person that is feeling the way that I am feeling in those moments, then.
Going back to like the horror stuff, I think whenever I was a teenager and I was initially dealing with that emerging bipolar disorder and stuff, I really related to a lot of horror type characters like vampires, like the vampire Lestat. And I loved that he was so above his pain, you know? And I think that that relation to horror characters and to horror themes and to darker things has carried on throughout my life as I've dealt with that mental illness. It's kind of like if I read about monsters, it's bad, but it's not as bad as what's going on in my head.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, they've actually, I read a psychological study about that because after I had a really bad accident and near-death experience in 2018. And after that was when I had my PTSD and my depression just went, oh my gosh, it was just, I spiraled.
Oh my gosh.
I spiraled. It was awful. And that was the first time in my life, even though I've always been into spooky stuff and I would always like, I would watch Tim Burton films and just kind of creepy, fun Halloween spooky films that were still family friendly. I never was into horror.
Right.
And after my accident and after I started spiraling, I craved horror. And I found out through this, I can't remember who published it, but it was a published paper, psychological paper. And it was, about the fact that like, basically people who have processed or who are processing trauma tend to be the ones who prefer horror because, it's a way to see the pain as entertainment. And it's also usually like, why do we love the final girl so much? Because we survive. Because it's saying no matter how bad it gets, even when this dude's like coming at you with chainsaws and crap, like, and you've lost all your friends and everything sucks, like you can still go on.
Survive.
And you know, yeah, you can still survive. It's stories of survival, even when most everybody dies. Like, it's as funny as it is, as crazy as it is, or when it's the monster that survives or whatever.
Right.
But also just like I said, like taking pain and taking fear and changing it to an absurd entertainment form. You know, for me, I can't do gore. I can't do torture stuff. Like, I don't. So like I've seen the first Saw and I was like, nope. For me. I like paranormal stuff. I like the scare jumps. I like, you know, psychological stuff. Because what I went through was very gory in my car accident. And I do have very vivid memories of it, which is part of the PTSD. And so, but also I'm a very empathetic whole life. That's the reason I've never liked horror, was because my entire life, like just even thinking right now of somebody hurting somebody else like that with such malice and hatred and anger or whatever they're feeling, it's just, it makes me squirm, and I just really hate the idea or seeing even acting hurt. It genuinely hurts my heart and I feel like sick, and it's not because of what I'm seeing, because I can look at surgeries. I can look at photos of, you know, gore
in
different settings. It's not necessarily what I'm seeing. It is the action of this person is in pain. This person's being hurt. Like cutting up a dead body, they're not going to feel it. That doesn't bother me at all. It's, right. It's
like
so
the
much
intent
gore,
behind it.
Pain. Yes, it's the intent behind it. It's the feeling like, oh God, that pain. And I've just been through such immense physical pain like that, that I'm like, I mean, just that you wouldn't believe it. It's just like, you know, and I remember it so vividly. And so that on top of being a sympathetic person who has already felt like that my whole life, it's just a, yeah, I don't do torture porn.
Yeah.
I do gore.
I understand.
But yes, horror though, like I really love the Haunting series, Haunting of Bly Manor, Haunting of Hill House.
I still need to watch that.
Oh my gosh, please.
Okay.
Please watch them.
Okay.
They are so beautiful and so, they're great. They're scary. They're, you know, they make you jump. They do all that kind of stuff too. But I think, now I will tell you, the second one, Bly Manor, there was an episode, I think it was episode 7, towards the end, that did cause me to dissociate for 2.5 days.
Oh, wow.
Because, well, and I won't say it's the episode. The episode led to a dream, and the dream led me to dissociate.
Oh, wow.
Because it was about me being at the scene of the accident again. But this time I was hovering over my body. Mm-hmm. and my body was in this, like, it was in the process of decay.
Oh gosh.
Which was interesting because even though the wreck, like it was at the scene of the wreck, it was like I had been there for weeks.
Right.
You know, and so again, like I have a very vivid dreams and usually they're pretty awful.
Yeah. I can relate.
That one, oh gosh. I'm sure you can. You seem like you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I hate that for you.
Same.
Yeah, it was incredibly realistic and it caused me, but the thing about it is that dream also was a reminder that I am not my body.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it was such a reminder that it caused me to dissociate from my body for 3 days or 2.5 days. And so,
oh, wow.
You know, that's the thing is I have to be careful of that awareness and make sure that I'm aware and trying to make it in a positive light, which is why I work so hard on my witchcraft and my, you know, intuition and my understanding of just being like more okay, more normalizing the fact that like, I do personally believe my body and my soul are very separate. Mm-hmm. When I had my near death experience, do you mind if I kind of go into that?
Not at all.
Okay. I won't go into the whole details, but basically I died for like 11 minutes, they said.
Wow.
And I remember it. I woke up. Well, I say I woke up. I was in this like void. It was just darkness. Mm-hmm. I couldn't feel my body. And I say that because even in dreams, I feel this heaviness of my body. I feel this like, you know, like when you're trying to run and you can't, you feel heavy. Like even in my dreams, I feel awareness of my physical body. And I had no awareness of my body anymore. It was gone. It was gone. And I was just in this darkness and I just felt like consciousness floating, not a body, not a person, just consciousness. And I could hear the voice from my head and my thoughts say, these words exactly. Well, shit. I think I just died.
Oh my gosh.
And then I sat there for a moment in this void. I say sat because, again, I don't have a body, but that's the word I'm going to use. Mm-hmm. But I'm here in this void and I just say, well, okay, then that sucks. I really liked that one.
And oh, wow. I just got like full body chills.
Yeah. Because I didn't necessarily not believe in it, but I've always been like kind of open to the idea of like, you know, I guess reincarnation.
Right.
But I'd never thought about it to the extent that like, why would my thoughts go there so very, it was with such conviction. I really liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. But then it was very much now resigned and to like acceptance and just, okay, what's next?
Wow.
Like, okay, now we got to go back, you know, to something else. And, anyway, and so yeah, it was just really, it was really crazy. And so when I woke up in the ambulance, mm-hmm. and I'm just thrust back into this world of intense pain, mm-hmm. and, you know, so I almost lost my arm because I lost consciousness at the wheel. We still mm-hmm. don't know what happened. And I was hurtling down the interstate at 80 miles an hour towards towards stopped traffic. Mm-hmm. And somebody luckily honked their horn in time for me to wake up to see the back of the semi.
Wow.
And I was in the right-hand lane, so I jerked, which I have no idea how I knew to do this. Again, mm-hmm. no idea. Somebody was helping me, I really believe. Mm-hmm. I just remember screaming and I jerked the wheel to the right and made impact very shortly after. Whenever I had jerked the wheel to the right and made impact, it was enough force to throw me over the inside of the console, right? So I'm thrown over to the right-hand side over mm-hmm. the seat and everything. And luckily I was, because the car went under the semi and the corner, the right-hand corner of the car, of the semi, went through the windshield and through my arm, my left arm, and through mm-hmm. the back of the seat. And if I hadn't been flung over the center of the console, I would have been gone.
Yeah.
I mean, completely. I wouldn't have felt anything, thank goodness, but I would have mm-hmm. been gone.
Right. And that's wild.
The thing about it is, I mean, it really is. And so, you know, I wake up in this car and like the top of my car was found 100 yards away. I wake mm-hmm. up and I just see sunlight and glass. And then I feel this like wet on me. And I just remember kind of assuming it was like fluid from the car. Again, mm-hmm. I don't really know what's going on. I'm very dazed, right. very much in shock. But like, I remember trying to process, it must be fluid from the car. I know it was an accident. Okay. And then I look down and I can see just blood, just so much blood. Mm. It looked like my arm had been shot with a shotgun at point blank range. It's the only way I can.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was just obliterated. And yeah. That's when I passed out and I had lost so much blood that's when I had my death experience. I don't even want to call it a near death experience, because they specifically said I was gone.
Wow.
They brought me back, you know? So my yeah. death experience was after that, after I'd lost so much blood, and I guess just was like, okay. And
wow.
So when I woke up in the ambulance after having that experience, I was just like, oh no, not, oh no, oh mm-hmm. no pain, but also, okay, I'm not dead mm-hmm. anymore. And then I look over at the EMT and I'm like, am I going to lose my arm? And he mm-hmm. just looks down at me with this grimace and he's like, I don't know. And so that's when I passed back out, because I was like, I'm losing my arm. Okay. And
yeah.
So, but the funny thing is, like, they had me on some good meds, because by the time that my partner at the time had gotten to the hospital, I was like, it's fine. I'm just going to, like, I'm going to lose my arm. But, mm-hmm. like, it's good. I'm going to get, like, a pink titanium arm.
Yeah.
And my only issue was, I'm an actor and a singer, and I'm like, who's going to hire me with a pink titanium arm? But I was like, it's just fine. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, whenever the surgeon, I thought I was going into surgery and I was going to lose my arm, but he was able to salvage it. I mean, he said it was a few millimeters away from severing one of the main nerves that would have just left it basically a dead arm.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I've got almost full functionality. I have like
98%
of my range. Like mm-hmm. it looks kind of misshapen and the scar is gnarly, but I mean, it's mm-hmm. really cool looking, honestly. So
yeah,
I mean, I can't complain. I have my arm. I am grateful.
That's amazing.
I'm so grateful. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think after that, the PTSD I have PTSD from like the gore, but mostly it was of the death experience and of being mm-hmm. back and of seeing my family mourn this new depression I was in, and thinking mm-hmm. it would have been easier for me to have died and then mourn me and then mm-hmm. just move on, instead of having to see me like this and me being a burden, because I was living with my parents again, because mm-hmm. I couldn't go to rehab, because I walked 20 freaking feet more mm-hmm. than was the maximum for rehab for my insurance. So I had to instead move back home with my parents, because mm-hmm. I couldn't rehab at home. or where I was living in Nashville.
Right.
And yeah, it was just awful. It was awful. And so horror in those, in that moment, in those moments of my life, the darkest I've ever been, horror was there. And it, mm-hmm. it gave me something. It made me feel when I couldn't feel, you know, and that's another, you know, I need to add that to my list of glitters, because whenever I wanted to feel something the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I mm-hmm. was considering self-harm for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. I've considered it before. I've just never, I was the closest, I'll say that I was the closest I'd ever come to actually
right.
self-harming. Mm-hmm. And, that was, you know, I probably could have put on Bly Manor or Haunting of Hill House, and maybe that would have helped. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, horror really does have a way of just kind of giving those of us who've dealt with or continuously deal with trauma or mental health issues or whatever, a beautiful, strange outlet.
Yeah, us, you know? it really does. And I wanted to tell you, I am so honored and humbled and that you shared that story with me and with my audience. That is amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's just, it's another thing I try to, again, like, I try to be open about, because if I can talk about it with vulnerability and maybe that help one person, then it's, again, all of that literally will be worth it if it helps mm-hmm. one person.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's just my feeling. That's how I cope. It's how I, speaking like this, being vulnerable, it helps others, but that's also how it helps me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not totally selfless. I'm doing so for myself too, but like, I feel like it's the symbiotic,
right.
hopefully relationship between whomever is listening mm-hmm. and myself.
So as we're getting ready to have to wrap up, but as a final question, I think I want to ask you to weigh in on something that Johnetta and I talked about on the podcast, which is, this is kind of a silly question, but in a fight between a vampire and a werewolf, who do you think would win and why?
Definitely a vampire. They can yeah. turn to mist.
That's true.
They can turn to a bat.
That's true.
They have so much advantages, so many advantages. I think the wolf man, werewolf, might have a physical advantage, maybe, but I mean, mm-hmm. usually vampires are incredibly strong. They're incredibly fast. They can fly. They can turn into a mist. Like,
and they're smart.
They're so smart. Like, I'm mm-hmm. telling you, vampires all the way. Absolutely.
I think so.
Which is funny. One of my best friends calls himself a werewolf, and he, like, only wears, like, flannel. And I can't wait to tell him about this argument.
That's me, honestly. Like, I wear so many flannel shirts. And, like, in the fall, I'd literally look like if I cut my pants off at the shin, I could be the wolf man.
I swear to God, like he posted something the other day that was like, hey, so I mean, it's great to see all of these cool gothic, like Lothario vampires and right. stuff, like these balls. He was like, but I just feel like really underrepresented. Can we please just have a werewolf barbecue where everybody wears flannels
yeah.
and we have like, we howl at the moon together and we just like make
I love that so much.
And I'm just like, I literally wrote it in my phone as like, he doesn't know it yet, but I'm totally going to do a surprise birthday party for mm-hmm. him this year with all of our friends.
werewolf barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah. Werewolf barbecue. And everybody has to wear flannel.
Yeah.
Preferably ripped jeans.
Yep.
yeah, no, I'm definitely doing that because like, yeah, he's amazing. We've been really good friends for God, almost 9-10 years now, something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, totally deserves a good werewolf barbecue.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to remind everybody where they can find all of your stuff?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So it's probably easiest to just go to my TikTok. If you go to TikTok at @the_ghoulish_gal, then there is a link tree in my bio that has all of my links that are pertinent. So you'll find my Etsy shop there. Also, we have our shadow edition of our tarot deck, which is a black and white version, a much more kind of classic, clean goth aesthetic than the colored version. So if that's more your aesthetic, that is on sale right now on Amazon for $10 off. So it is $24.95 plus, well, just free shipping because we have Prime shipping available on that. So if you go over to Amazon, just search Terror Tarot Shadow Edition. It'll show up. And again, that is on sale till the end of October. But yeah, if you head over to my TikTok, that will help you kind of find all my links. Or you can go to Etsy and eBay and Amazon and just search The Ghoulish Garb.
Perfect.
And also, if you have a question for me, if you want to talk about witchcraft or anything like that, you want to interview for yourself, but whatever it is, email me at theghoulishgal@gmail.com.
All right. And I've got for you guys just one small announcement. There's going to be a link in the show notes. I'm going to put Shanna's stuff, a link in the show notes, but I'm also going to put a link to the new merchandise store for Erioki. And I've got a couple of new designs in there that I think you guys are really going to love. Also, I have a book out right now called The Reunion. It is a horror anthology, and you guys have probably heard about that if you've been on my social media. So that's about all we've got for you guys. So y'all stay spooky.